Good morning. How are you doing? Are you comfortable? I hope that you are comfortable. In occasions, we confront issues at church that make us uncomfortable, right? For instance, when was the last time that you had to wake at 3 a.m. to take care of a baby? Or change a diaper that smelled good? You remember those good old times? Every single time that I hear and I see the little kids running and jumping in the church, I'm really happy. Because in reality, that's an answer to prayer. This church is praying for younger blood, right? So that's what God is sending us. So we just be prepared. I just say that, that's all. I'm really happy to see young faces here today, and welcome to church, and I hope that you enjoy the program and have a good blessing. A few years ago, I was probably 11 years old, in our school, they offer a program for Boy Scouts. And I get really excited. I never participated in any kind of club. And that was the first time that somebody kind of like gave me a chance to join something. So I decided I want to join the Boy Scouts. You know, I know some of you will think it was a very lame idea. But for me, that was something amazing. You know, I got all these ideas of adventure and good places to go and having fun, excursions, all these things that you have as a kid. And I remember one Sunday, the troop prepared a hiking. So they give us instructions, you know, several days on the road. You need to use very comfortable shoes. Don't use brand new shoes. You need to use socks. It is possible to use two pairs of socks to protect your feet, you know, for blisters and all these things. Get a nice hat, because the place where you used to live, it was very hot and kind of like a semi-desert. Get plenty of water, and we will all get our lunch, and we will eat in this location. And the location was in a little mountain nearby the city, probably like around like 10 miles hiking. So I get there Sunday with my backpack, you know, all excited, and my water and all my stuff, and I remember getting information and start walking through this highway. And as we walked, the leaders were instructing us, you know, this is the right way to walk in the road. And so you can see the traffic coming against you. Pay attention when you are crossing here. Avoid talking and listen, because that's what you need to do when you are hiking. In case you hear something, stop, think, assess, and then make your move. And all these kind of instructions. By the time we get to the base of the mountain, it was probably like a 2-hour hiking already. My water was gone. Yeah, I drink all my water at the time. So I was quite thirsty. And we didn't even start doing the most difficult part of the hike, which is climbing this mountain. And the leader looked at me, and I was this kid, and, you know, big head and chubby body. And he say, I'm still doing this, kind of the same body, right? And I remember saying, we get in the hard part. So I will be with you, because I don't want you to get behind. Certainly, as we start climbing this little mountain, and start getting behind, and the guys were moving faster than me, and my backpack started getting heavier and heavier, and I was almost giving up, sweating like profusely and very, very tired. So the guy looked at me and said, don't worry. When we get to the top of the mountain, they had this beautiful pool in there. We'll get in there. We'll get refreshed. You will enjoy it. And, okay, so I get, like, renewed energies and excited that at the top of the mountain we will find a pool waiting for me. And keep walking, and really hard, and right around the middle of the mountain, I can't keep walking. And he said, well, let me help you with your backpack. So he took my backpack, and we continued walking. And eventually we made it to the top of the mountain. You know, it was the last one when this guy there. And what was my disappointment to get there and notice that it's not such a thing like a pool. It was no pool in there. Actually, the only thing that they have at the mountain was a TV radio station transmitting to the local city, the channels and things like that. The reason that I mentioned this experience is because when you experience heat, when you experience thirst, that you feel your mouth and your throat is so dry that you can't even move your tongue, like, every single time that you want to talk, it's kind of like pasty. How you experience that? Very, very dry. And when you experience all these things, the things that you are dreaming at that time is for some cool water, something to refresh you. And today, if you pay attention to the psalm that they read at the beginning, it's Psalms 91. Please open your Bibles in Psalms 91, because I want to read something about this famous psalm. A lot of you probably know this psalm by memory. It is a very well-known psalm. And people used to say this as a prayer in many cases. It's a beautiful psalm. So the psalm have two divisions between verse 1 through, let me find my Bible here. Verse 1 through 13 is like somebody describing to you what will happen if you believe in God. But now from verse 14 through 16, it changed from somebody telling you, and now it seems like God is talking to you. So you have like two characters in this psalm. One is telling you, if you believe in God, this will happen to you. He will protect you. He will bless you. He will take care of you. And at the end, God, it will say, if you trust in me, I will give you these blessings. And he mentioned the blessings that he will give you. But pay attention to verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. I will stop you right there. In the Bible, in many occasions, people was in need of refuge. And in Israel, in the Old Testament, they have a custom. For instance, if you kill somebody by accident, according to the law, if the family of the deceased find you, they will have the right to kill you. That was the law. But if you were fast enough and you run really fast and get to one of these small cities, they had cities located in the old nation, they were called cities of refuge, you can enter there and nobody will do anything to you. You will be protected by the law under that city. Of course, the moment that you put a foot outside the city, then if somebody from that family find you, they will take care of you, they will kill you. As long as you stay in the city, you will be protected. But the moment you leave the city, then you will be liable for the thing that happened. And this refuge was only for the people who do something by accident. That this refuge was not like a protection for somebody who killed somebody with intention, like a homicide. It was more like an accident. I was working with this person, and out of the blue, a tree or a rock fell and killed him, and the family blamed me, so I need to run really quick and get into the city so to be protected. But the Bible describes that in Israel they have these cities. But they also have another tradition that it wasn't mentioned in the Bible, but it's mentioned in some parts. Let's go really quick to 1 Kings, verse 1 Kings 1 and verse 50, I think it is. 1 Kings 1, 50. And the story here describes a man who is a fugitive, and he's running, and he's afraid that somebody will kill him, and he does something interesting. In 1 Kings 50, the Bible says this. Now Adonai was afraid of the Solomon, so he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonai is afraid of the king Solomon, for look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servants to death with the sword. So it seems like they have this custom that if you were afraid of somebody trying to kill you, what you need to do is get into a church, into the church at a time, and they have this altar there where they place the lambs and all these animals that were burned according to the Jewish tradition. And this altar have like some pieces, four pieces in every angle. They look like, they represent like a horn. And if you go there and you grab one of these horns, you will be kind of like protected. It's like in our day, it's like somebody that is persecuted by justice running into a church and asking, please help me. And I don't know if you remember, I think it was year 1993. Some of you weren't born yet. 92. U.S. have an invasion in Panama because they have a dictator there. Do you remember that? And the Marines go there and start fighting with these soldiers, and because they were trying to capture a dictator there that was doing a lot of damage. And this guy, when he was defeated, he started running and trying to find place, and he hid in a Catholic church. And I remember that it lasts like several days. And finally, he surrendered to the U.S. authorities. And I guess because the respect that they had for the church, they didn't enter in that country. But I will assure you, if you do something really bad, and the government is looking for you, and you're trying to find hiding place here in this church, you will be in trouble. You know, we'll give you back to the authorities. But this guy was running, and eventually he surrendered, and the whole situation was forgiven. What I'm trying to explain is people in the past used to find different places for refuge. And one of the places that I think we should keep in mind is the church. The church should be a place for refuge. You don't agree with me? You should feel safe coming to church, right? Without any worries about people judging you or criticizing you or making comments, because this is a place for sinners. And we all had a chance and opportunity to come here in church and enjoy talking about God and have this conversation. In the Bible also mentioned, when you remember in Psalms 91, the ones who dwells among the shadow of the Almighty, and then he mentioned the secret place, right? I want you to please open your Bibles in Psalms 27, because I want to make a suggestion here, a connection between these Psalms that I think, at least to me, is really important. Psalms 27, verse 1 through 5. And this is what the Bible tells us about the secret place of God. Verse 1 in Psalms 27, 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and fail. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, and all day of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in the pavilion of his secret place, in his tabernacle, and he shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. And let's stop for a moment here. Like I mentioned, Psalm 91 is a well-known psalm. And I remember my mom used to repeat this psalm pretty much every day. Psalm 91 and Psalms 121 before you leave the house as a prayer for us. Why I think it's important that we need to find a place where you find refuge between you and God. What I'd like to suggest here is that the Bible, in the past, when people want to find a place for encounter God, they used to go to the sanctuary, to what we all know as a church. And when they enter there, that was a place where they can pray to God, that was a place where they can worship God, and that was a place where they can feel safe from their enemies. And I think David is making a connection here. The sanctuary, it was this building in the desert, had two divisions, and the Bible mentioned these two divisions. You remember, right? One of these divisions was called as the holy place. And in this division, what they do is burn some incense, which is wood, and they offer some bread, and they do some prayers in there. And they have a nice curtain separating this compartment from the next one. The second compartment was known as the most holy place. And in that place, only one person entered once a year. It was the high priest, the most high priest in Israel. And they did it for a special festivity called the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when everybody had to need, and according to the theology in Israel, everybody was judged, and you need to find forgiveness of your sins with God. Why I mention all these things to you today? What is relevant to you studying about the sanctuary and finding a secret place to God? I would like to mention three things. Number one, if you feel distress, if you feel that the problems that you are right now suffering, if you feel right now that your friends have abandoned you, if you feel that nobody really understands how you're feeling, you can trust in God and go and find him. Now, where you can find God today? Do you need to go to a special location to find God? Do you need to come to church? I don't think so. I think you can find God in your house, in your daily work, in your school, or wherever you are. is take a moment and have this communion with God. Talk to God. When you feel frustrated, when you feel angry, when you feel excited, when you feel sad, happy. That's what a Christian life is about. Having a relationship with this God that we preach over here. You know, and we expect that after you have this communion with God, something will start happening in your life, right? Your life will be different. Your life will be transformed. Because now you have an awareness of somebody who cares for you, that somebody who is paying attention to you, and that he is willing to help you. Now, the second thing that I would like to suggest about the Psalm 91 is that God is a faithful defender. In many occasions in my life, I've been in problems because I create problems or because I had issues with somebody else. But I remember a few years ago, we visiting some friends here in Spartanburg, near Spartanburg, Greenville, and we were traveling from Asheville to that city. I remember well because it was Easter Sunday. And we decided, well, we want to go spend some time with our friends. And I remember going in this highway, and the speed limit was, I think, 55. And I was running like 85 down the hill. You know, I was so happy and excited. I didn't care, you know, for the police. And then when I was doing a curve, right there it was the state trooper waiting for me. Man, I can't believe my luck. You know, and this guy started following me. Why? He's persecuting me. I didn't do anything wrong. I knew I was speeding. And then I start thinking what I should do. What I should do? Well, slow down first and get to the side of the road and wait for the officer to get there. So when finally the officer get there, they normally ask you, sir, license and what? Registration. Ah, you have experienced that too, right? That's good. So you get the license, you get the registration. And then he made the second question. He made, do you know why I stopped you? I said, yes, I know. And he looked at me, why I stopped you? Because I was speeding. And he said, you are right. You were going 85 in a 55 zone. Yes, sir. I didn't argue. I didn't fight with this officer. And he got to his car. And when he came back, he gave me a warning. Nah, you will be happy if he gave me only a warning. He didn't give me a warning. He gave me a ticket. And he said, you need to go to the court and pay for this ticket. But he did something for me. He said, listen, because you were so fast, the normal price for this fine is almost $600. That's what you need to pay, plus all the points that you will get in your insurance. But since today is Easter, and you are being honest with me, I will take like 20 miles from the limit. So you will be like going only 60 and a 55. So your fine will be like $120. I was really grateful, you know. Somehow I was relieved. Not that all my guilt was removed, but at least this guy was having some compassion on me and give me a break. You know, I didn't want to pay the $600. I just rather pay the $120. I would like to suggest to you that God is something like that. That as you go and talk to God and be honest with God, he will help you out. He will listen to you in your problems and your difficulties, and he will give you a hand to try to get out of your trouble. And I experience this in my life all the time. I get in problems with other people. You know, when you get to a church, the business at church is practically is like Graham was mentioning to me, politics, right? You need to have some deep diplomacy and have the ability to talk to others and be able to create relationships. And in occasions, we don't have this way to be delicate, and we hurt people's feelings, right? So when you are at church, in our church, or in any church that you go, and you get in trouble, we need to remember that God is always willing to help you, no matter what. And this is one of the things that I always try to explain to my family, especially to my kids. I will tell you this, as a parent, it's not easy when your kids come to you and they tell you, Dad, I did this thing, and you know, oh, okay, you know, this is something bad. But at least if they are honest and tell you, you were trying to find a solution for the problem, right? You know, I think it's more hurtful for you as a parent is when they don't tell you anything, and then you find out on your own. That, I think, is more hurtful. The last thing that I want to mention in reference to Psalm 91 that I think you should remember today is that God will never leave you alone. You just keep in mind that. That's a good thing. He's always with you, and he protects you, and he will give you company. You know, I was mentioned during Sabbath school that this week was my birthday, and I was talking to Denise. We spent it at home, and it was a good opportunity to spend some time with my wife, but also to reflect in, I was mentioned, to what kind of friends I have, how many friends I have, and who is really close to you. Have you ever feel like really lonely? You never feel like that. That's good. But if you feel lonely, and then you start counting in your friends, you will realize that in occasions, the people that we call friends, they are not good friends. I mean, you have some acquaintance, right? In school, at work, people that you can talk. But it's always a limit, you know? You protect yourself. You can open only until a certain point, and then you need to close the door because you don't want them to find out who really you are. I think we all experience that. In some moment in life, you experience the reality that you are here, and in many cases, you are alone. You can be surrounded. You can have 2,000 friends on Facebook, you know, or maybe 1,000 followers on Twitter. But it doesn't mean that you have really good friends. It's people who know you. Maybe they care a little bit for you, but in reality, you're pretty much on your own. When you start counting that, then you will have to get to the same conclusion that I always get. Well, I have my family, right? I have these people that I have a connection because blood, another relationship, that we fight in occasion, that we have disagreements, but that's all what I have. That's my real connection here. So we need to pay attention to these people, that they are your family. Why? Because I feel in occasions, we say things or we do things that hurt them. In many occasions, we hinder the opportunities to our family members to come to church. When I joined the church many years ago, I remember that I used to trying to be perfect. You remember? I don't know if you know this book, that I used to be perfect. You know, now I'm normal. You know? There is a book like that. It is actually for our church. So you get this idea that you want to be perfect, you know. You don't want to do anything wrong. But then I didn't realize that my behavior was so obnoxious to my brothers and to my sister that creates some problems at home. Now, looking back, I understand what I was doing wrong. But I was trying to impress them, you know, with my new faith and my new desire to serve God, that I forget that they are human beings. They make mistakes. So what I would like to suggest today also is that you love your family no matter what. Even if they don't come to church, you still love your family. Even if they are not perfect, that's your family. You know, if you are waiting to have a perfect family, I have some bad news for you. That really doesn't happen. Nobody have a perfect family. We all have family members that we don't like too much. Remember your cousin? The one that we're always talking and talking. Or your uncle, or some members in your family. But what you can do for these people that maybe they are obnoxious, that they are annoying, that they bother you, is to accept them for whatever way they are, love them the way they are. And that's how they get in contact with church. For people outside, church is like this private club when, you know, you need to be like perfect in order to enter. And in reality, no, you know. Church is formed by human beings, that they are trying to get close to God, that we struggle in many issues, but we know that God is faithful and that He is willing to help you. One of the lessons that I remember from that time is that sanctification and changes in my life take a long time. I was always desperate to get to the right point of sanctification, to be humble enough, to be close to God enough. Until I realized that probably will take all my life to get you there. And then when you accept that, you know, like, okay, now you realize that you are like everybody else, struggling in this fight, right? Please go with me and let's read the 5 verses in Psalms 91 that I think they pack the most beautiful blessing for you today. Pay attention, because this is what God promised He will do for you if you allow Him to be His protector and His refuge. Now in verse 14, this is what God says. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. That's the first promise there. Second, I will set him on high because he has known my name. He should call upon me and I will answer him. You know, when you pray to God and God answers you, I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. I will long life. I will give him long life and sacrifice him, and I show him my salvation. In the few verses that we just read, you find there that God said he will be with you in trouble. He didn't say that you won't have trouble, right? And this is the final point that I want to make. For some people, being a Christian, it means like having a life without trouble, right? Without any problems. And that doesn't happen. In fact, what I notice is when somebody gets close to God, somehow the enemy starts attacking you more. And then you start having more issues and more problems. You will ask, what is the point to be a Christian if you get too close to God and then you will have more problems? Yes, it's a benefit in there. The benefit is that now you are not alone. God is with you. You will have problems in life regardless if you are with God or without God. I tell you that. If you're thinking that walking out of this church and living a life, or whatever you want to do, will get you free trouble, well, I have bad news. It doesn't happen that way. I've been there, I tried that, and it didn't work. So you have problems outside the church, and you have problems where? Inside the church too. So what is the thing that makes the difference? What is the point to being here? Looking for God. Well, the point is simple. He is with you. He will help you. He will give you strength. The conditions maybe doesn't change right away, but God will give you the strength to pass through. I wish many things in my life can be changed right now, but then I realized I don't have the power to do it. And you have to get to the same conclusion, right? Do you have a physical ailment that is bothering you right now? And you wanted to get rid of that? And you realize, I don't have any power over that? What you can do? Just give it to God. Do you have any financial problems right now? And you don't know how to fix it? What you can do? Just give it to God. Are you having problems with your family, your spouse? All spouses have problems always. And you don't know how to solve this? Just give it to God. Are you having problems with your kids? Because they are behaving bad or they are not doing what you expect from them? And you don't know what to do? Well, it's out of your hands, right? We need to give in to God, because what else we can do? Today, we realize that the most that we surrender to God, the better our lives will be. I'm pretty sure some of you have passed through very painful experience. And don't ask me why, because I don't know why. In occasions, we don't know why. Just bad things happen too. What I know is that God is always with you and taking care of you. And I hope that you have this beautiful week, the next week that is coming, with new strengths, with new energies, and ready to confront whatever comes to your life with a new renewed desire to serve God. And may God bless you today.